يقولون سلام سلام ولا هنا سلام.
You're listening to Middle East Analysis, a podcast series taking a close look at the Middle East North Africa region. Hello and welcome to a very special Middle East Analysis today, because our focus is going to be on Pope Francis' visit to the Holy Land that takes place from the 24th of May through to the 26th of May. That's a Monday. I'm delighted to say I'm joined as usual by our very dynamic and intelligent studio guest, that is Dr. Harry Hagopian. Harry, how are you?
James, I'm very happy that you're boosting my morale. You see that I'm a little bit tired, so you're trying to give me some verbal vitamins. I'm fine. It's a pleasure to be here. And unlike most of our podcasts, this is quite special and in a sense quite different.
Well, I'm going to ask you exactly why it is special in a second, but I just want to trail ahead and tell our listeners that we actually have a rather special guest on slightly later on in this program.
In fact, we have two guests on.
We do have two guests. The first guest is going to be down the line from Jordan. That's the Latin Rite Catholic Bishop of Jordan, Archbishop Maroun Laham, who I know you know very well.
Yes, and Archbishop Maroun Laham is the Bishop of Jordan. Formerly, he was the Archbishop in Tunisia. So very interesting, because as we know, Tunisia is the country that started what we call then the Arab Spring, and we now call the uprisings or protests. And therefore, he is a man of the MENA region. He's now the Bishop of Jordan, and as such, he will be welcoming Pope Francis when he flies in from Rome into Amman, the capital of Jordan, at the start of his three-day visit to the Holy Land.
Now, of course, Jordan has welcomed Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI and Pope John Paul II, and that's a visit in 2000 that you had something to do with, Harry.
Yes, I did. The Jubilee pilgrimage, as we called it, in 2000 for Pope John Paul II, it was a wonderful experience. It was an experience in the sense that I was liaising with the spokesperson of the Vatican at the time, Joaquin Navarro Valls, in Rome, and we were both trying to make sure that the program held together, particularly on those issues that I have a say in, which are the ecumenical issues. Anything that is strictly Catholic was dealt with in-house, but for ecumenical visits, I had a lot of leeway to suggest activities, and therefore it was a wonderful experience, because Pope John Paul II was himself an actor. He was somebody who was great fun. He was somebody who had a very wicked sense of humor, if I may use that term, and he was somebody that I actually observed quite closely during his visit, which ended, interestingly enough, and I always say this, James, because I'm ethnocentric enough, I'm Armenian, and the visit ended with a visit to the Armenian Patriarch of Jerusalem in the Armenian Quarter, which is part of the old city of Jerusalem. And it was a wonderful meeting between the Armenian Patriarch at the time and the Pope, and wonderful memories flood back. And in a sense, when I look at the program for the present Pope, it's not really too different. And you can't really have a very different program, because it's the same sites, pretty much same people, pretty much the same route: Jordan, Palestine, Israel. However, probably the expectations change, because the political and social realities of the Holy Land are constantly changing too.
And with those realities, of course, comes the need for us as a community in England and Wales to pray for the Livingstones, the Christians of the Holy Land, the people of the Holy Land as a whole, I would say.
Absolutely.
And to this end, the bishops of England and Wales have called for an hour of prayer, a holy hour in a sense, in our parishes, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, where we can focus our prayer on the region, on the ministry of the Holy Father in the region, for an hour between 3 and 4 on Sunday the 25th of May. Now, you alluded to a second guest, and perhaps that's a topic that we'll bring up with the Bishop of Clifton.
Indeed.
Our very own Bishop Declan Lang, who is the chair of the International Affairs Department.
And who's also head of the Holy Land Coordination and has a lot of experience when it comes to the to our conference here and to the work we do in the Middle East North Africa region. He will probably be talking about those prayers. Incidentally, the prayers that you will hopefully share on the internet with most Catholics and other Christians, is a prayer that was not prepared here in London, nor was it prepared in Rome for that matter. It's a very local prayer. It's like hummus. It comes from the region. And it was prepared by Father Rifat Badr, who is the director of the Catholic Center for Studies and Media in Amman. And it's quite a nice prayer. I was talking, James, to a colleague of yours, Steve, and we were talking about this prayer. And we said it is wonderful that Cardinal Vincent has actually asked for all the Catholics and also other Christians and Anglicans to join in with this prayer in support and in solidarity with the Pope. But let me add one thing. Prayer alone is not enough for solidarity. With prayer comes action. And what is necessary as well is for us to pray and for us to act. Those two go together. And this is something that the Holy Land and the Christians of the Holy Land, let alone of the whole region, the Middle East, North Africa, need as much as the other communities as well, of whom we talk constantly in our podcasts.
Now, in a couple of minutes, we're due to cross over to Jordan to speak to the Latin Rite Catholic Bishop of Jordan. But I just want to ask you, in as succinct a form as you can, Harry, why now? Why is the Pope going to the Holy Land now? Is the timing significant, and what do you think it'll do?
It's very interesting because, you know, you always ask this question, why did Pope Benedict choose that time to go to the Holy Land? Why did John Paul II go then? Why did Paul VI, for that matter, go there in the 60s? And Pope Paul VI's visit in the 1960s is very important, is very fundamental, because part of what is happening in the program this coming few days with Pope Francis is, in a sense, something that will revisit and remember a famous meeting that took place between the then Pope in Rome, Pope Paul VI, and the then ecumenical patriarch of Constantinople, Athenagoras. And those two came together, and it reminds me a little bit of what John Paul II used to say, that Christianity has two lungs through which it breathes. It has the Catholic lung and it has the Orthodox lung. And in a sense, that meeting 50 years ago, which is also an anniversary we celebrate for Vatican II, is a time when the Orthodox and the Catholic churches started to heal the wounds and the taboos separating them. And now, when Pope Francis is in Jerusalem, he's going to meet the current ecumenical patriarch of Constantinople, Bartholomew I, mm-hmm. whom I also know, and they're going to sort of revisit the 50 years, recall the 50 years, and give a fresh impetus to the kind of ecumenical Christian relations, which incidentally, James, and I always say this, whenever Christian leaders get together and enhance their own relations and solidarity, it doesn't only affect and improve Christian realities on the ground, it also improves realities across the board, because let's not forget that the Christians are a small community within a sea of other communities in the MENA region. So last thing we should do is either be navel-gazing or think that we are only it in the region.
Well, Harry, it's time to cross to Jordan now, and I'm delighted to say that we can welcome the Latin Rite Catholic Bishop of Jordan, Archbishop Maroun Laham. How nice of you to join us. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My first question, Archbishop, what are your hopes and aspirations for the visit of Pope Francis, particularly with the sort of current turmoil in the region?
We are very privileged that Pope Francis will come to Jordan, especially with these recent problems in many of the countries surrounding Jordan. It's a letter from the Pope saying that he appreciates the peace and the security and the coexistence which exists in Jordan between Christians and Muslims and with all the citizens of the Kingdom of Jordan. So for us, the visit of the Pope is a great honor and a great acknowledgement of the peace we are enjoying in Jordan. So what we hope is that the Pope gives us, we as Christians, a message of faith to confirm our faith as Christians, because, you know, when you are a minority, you feel always a bit weak, and you need some support from your responsible people. We hope that this message of peace will be extended also to other countries who lack peace for the moment.
And Archbishop Maroun, it's often the case, isn't it, that when popes visit the Holy Land, they start in Jordan. That was the case with Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI and, of course, John Paul II in 2000. Tell us a little bit about the events in Jordan itself on day one.
Yes, not only Pope Joseph II and Paul VI, but also Moses, to cross to the Holy Land. He had to pass through Jordan, but unfortunately, he didn't cross. So it's also a sign that Jordan is a part of the Holy Land, because we have many holy places in Jordan. First of all, is the site of the baptism of Jesus. We know that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the eastern part of the River Jordan. And then we have the place of the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist, and the place where Elijah went to heaven. So we have many holy places. And Jordan is very interested in this visit in order to show the Jordanian hospitality, which is really famous, but also in order to show that Jordan is also an integral part of the Holy Land, and so to invite all pilgrims to include Jordan in their program when they come. So the Pope's program in Amman is in three phases. He comes at 1 p.m., and then he goes directly to the Royal Palace, will be the welcome ceremony, the official welcome ceremony with the royal family and with the government, with the ambassadors, and with all of the important people here. And then by 3, he will go to the International Stadium of Amman, where he will celebrate a mass. We are expecting some 30,000 people to participate to this mass. And after this mass, by 6:37, he'll go to the baptism site, where he will meet with some 400 to 500 people, or children, orphans, sick people, handicapped people, and immigrants from Iraq and from Syria. He will come back to the Nunciature, which is the house of the Apostolic Nuncio in Jordan, and the next morning by 8, he will go by helicopter to Bethlehem.
We know that the Holy Father is a very compassionate man and certainly wants to be alongside the most vulnerable people in society. So when you mention the meeting with refugees, with disabled young people, that's a very crucial meeting, isn't it, for the visit?
It is. And he just wanted to meet with them, to pray with them, to bless them. And previously it was supposed that he takes dinner with them. But then they advised him that he would be very tired and that it was better for him to go back in order to prepare himself for the next 2 days, which are very busy too.
Archbishop, it is very interesting because I have had the privilege of knowing you for many years, and you have known the region. You were Archbishop of Tunisia. You are now in charge of Jordan. You know the whole region so well. You were before that also director of the Bejala Seminary. In a sense, this is also a moment where many Christian communities across the MENA region are feeling vulnerable. And I know that Jordan has always played a role as a bridge, as a reconciling force. How much of his moral authority do you think the Pope will use in order to try and heal those wounds and give hope to the Christian communities across the whole region, from not only in Jordan, Palestine and Israel, but across Syria, Iraq and the wider region?
So we hope he will do this, especially because we are expecting people coming from Syria, from Lebanon, from Iraq and from Egypt to assist to the mass celebrated by the Pope. So we hope that his discourse, we are waiting for his discourse to come previously, because he will speak in Italian and we will translate it into Arabic. So I read it, and we hope that this message of tolerance, of peace, of reconciliation arrives. As you said, it's a moral authority, it's not a military authority. We are really hoping that this will work. Now we know that moral is one thing and politics are another thing.
As Stalin said, Archbishop Maroun, how many brigades does the Pope have? But he doesn't need brigades. It is enough that he brings his person.
Yes, his person, his prayers and his moral support. And I hope that it will work at a certain extent, inshallah.
Archbishop, I'd like to, before we let you go, just get a quick sense of the excitement and the anticipation in Jordan at the moment. Not just Christians, of course, but Jordanians in general. What's the mood like at the moment?
Well, yes, if you go by the seas of Amman, they are full of portraits of Pope and King. And I think there will be also many hundreds of Muslims coming to the Mass of the Pope, all the ministries, all the embassies, even the Iranian embassy, the Pakistani embassy, the Chinese embassy, they all wanted entry tickets for the Mass of the Pope. The mood in Amman is exciting. And just this morning we had a meeting with the Prime Minister, and he assured us that Jordan will do all the possible to make this visit really honorable and a real success.
And you know, Archbishop Maroun, that it is a pleasure for me to include Jordan in this trip because, as you said, and as our listeners should understand, when we say Holy Land, we don't only talk of Palestine and Israel, but we certainly talk of Jordan. But there is also another connection with Jordan that we here at the Catholic Bishops' Conference are promoting, which is the prayer that was written by Father Rifat Badr, who is the director of the Catholic Center for Studies and Media in Amman. We are using that prayer in order to stand in solidarity across the whole of England and Wales with the Pope, with yourself, and with all the Christian communities, Catholic or otherwise, in the Holy Land. So in a sense, there is a lot that binds us together in the same fellowship, and it's a joy to be able to live this experience through your eyes and your time there with the Pope.
You are so kind, inshallah.
Archbishop Maroun Laham, thank you ever so much for giving us some of your time when it must be so very busy for you at the moment.
Yes, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, that was the Latin Rite Catholic Bishop of Jordan, Archbishop Maroun Laham. Now, excellent, Harry. Thank you very much for helping us set that up. It's good to actually go to the region where the Holy Father is about to be.
It is. And you speak know, someone one of the well? Things I always say, James, it's when I hear or read all those armchair analysts of the Middle East, North Africa region who sit in their offices and pontificate about what they think is or is not happening in the region. I've learned very, very long time ago that having that kind of political foresight, ecumenical acumen is helpful, but it is also very helpful to be in touch with the people of the region, because the stories you get from a cab driver, the stories you get from a priest, the stories you get from ordinary people is different from the kind of rarefied atmosphere in which people sit and then try to project on what is happening in the region, which is why half the time they get it wrong.
Obviously, the Christians of the region are a focus in this visit, naturally, and the unity between them as well. But I did want to pick up with you that very interesting meeting that's happening in Jordan on Saturday, the 24th of May, the evening meeting with refugees and disabled young people. Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about the pressure on countries, surrounding countries as a result of the Syrian civil war.
Yeah.
Now, we weren't going to go there necessarily with the Archbishop, but I mean, what sort of pressures is Jordan facing?
Jordan is facing incredible pressures. There are many countries who are hosting refugees. If I want to mention the principal countries of the region, I would say Turkey, Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, and Iraq. But of those five, the three key countries that are hosting huge numbers of refugees are Turkey, Lebanon, Jordan. Turkey has the economic and financial wherewithal to deal with it much better. The two countries that are being affected very, very strongly are Lebanon and Jordan for entirely different reasons. In Jordan at the moment, we have roughly 600,000 registered refugees, which always means that the unregistered numbers are much higher, which means that they are a drain on the economy of the country, because this is not like getting businessmen into the country who invest in the economy of the country, who spend money, and therefore they strengthen the black economy or the black market. These are people who are coming with hardly any bags or any belongings with them. Some of them, they don't even have documents or passports with them. These are people that Jordan is carrying on its back. One big refugee camp alongside others, Za'atri, was too small. So now we have Azraq camp, which is another one that has opened up. it is very, very burdensome. And what I always say is that when we in the West, whether in Moscow, in London, in Paris, in Washington, D.C., wherever, we sit and we talk about the conflicts in the region and about the refugee humanitarian dimension, we shouldn't only talk about it in academic terms. We should realize that if we do not help those countries like Lebanon and Jordan cope with the weight of those refugees, then their economies will crumble. And once they do, we have even got more trouble on our hands.
Now, let's turn our attention back to a subject that we mentioned just before we spoke to the Archbishop in Jordan there. And that's the Holy Hour, as it's being called, from 3 till 4, where we, hopefully around all the Catholic parishes of England and Wales, we join together in prayer at the time that the Holy Father is in Bethlehem, Sunday the 25th of May 2014, 3 till 4 o'clock, as I say. And the bishops have said at their plenary meeting that that is something that they would strongly encourage us all to take part in. And as you mentioned to the Archbishop, there is a slight Jordanian focus there as well in the priest that's written the prayer.
The prayer is a Jordanian prayer in the sense that it was written in Jordan and being shared by Catholics and Christians across the world, certainly in this country as well. And in a sense, it's a wonderful moment because it's a moment of solidarity. And look, I'm a lay person. I perhaps have slightly different values. I very much appreciate the sense of solidarity that goes with it. I love the fact that we in this country, as well as perhaps other countries, are going to be in solidarity with the Pope as he's sitting there in Bethlehem. And remember, you said 3 to 4 p.m. on the 25th. There is a two-hour difference, so it will be there between 5 and 6 p.m. in the evening. And he will be sitting in Bethlehem, the town that witnessed the birth of Jesus, and talking to them. So that solidarity is nice. But for people who know the region, they know the needs of the region, be it of the Christian communities or of the larger communities there. And therefore, with that sense of solidarity in prayer comes also solidarity in action. And this is why I believe you've also been quite active, James, in talking to people from Friends of the Holy Land, which help actively those Christian communities in the Holy Land, and which has now gone ecumenical, which is why the Anglican men and women of England and Wales are joining in this hour of prayer as well.
Absolutely. Well, why don't we speak to one of our bishops, and very appropriately, the Catholic Bishop of Clifton, Bishop Declan Lang, who chairs our International Affairs Department.
Let's do that and see what he says. I always have time for Bishop Declan.
Bishop Declan Lang, chair of our International Affairs Department, no less, on the line. How are you, Father?
I'm well, thank you.
Excellent. We're talking about that holy hour between the hours of 3 and 4 o'clock on Sunday the 25th of May, where the idea, I believe, Father, is to join in solidarity with Pope Francis in focusing our prayers in front of the Blessed Sacrament on the Christians of the region.
That's right. I've invited all the parishes of the Clifton Diocese to engage in this hour of prayer, and I think all the other bishops have done similarly to their parishes. And it's a sign of our support and solidarity with Christian communities in Palestine, Israel, and also as a sign of our desire for peace and reconciliation with justice.
Now, obviously, this is a call that's being promoted by all our bishops, but I suppose you have a particular interest in this region, having been so many times, don't you?
I do. It's a region which I've become very fond of, and it's a region which I feel a great deal of sympathy for. It's a very complicated region, as no doubt Harry will have told you, but it's a region which people have hopes. They have hopes for peace and reconciliation, even though they recognize that's a very challenging hope.
Bishop, if I may interject, and you know that I like to do that, the visit of the Pope to Jordan and then from Amman to Palestine to Bethlehem and finally to Jerusalem A lot of people have been talking to me about it. I've received many emails about it, that we are expecting the Pope, we're waiting for the Pope. Now, I remember, because I was part of the organizing committee for Pope John Paul II when he did his Jubilee pilgrimage in the year 2000. But I also know that this visit has a particular significance in Jerusalem because of the meeting with the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, yes, as they recall the 50th anniversary of that meeting, and also of Vatican II. Now, in a sense, all that is nice, but you have been to the region, we have discussed the region many times. If I were to ask this simple question, other than going in there as the Pope, the head of the Roman Catholic Church, as somebody with immense moral authority, how do you think that such a visit would actually bring hope, inspire hope in the hearts and minds of the people there, primarily Christians, but also non-Christians? I mean, the region is in a state of ebullition. Would a three-day visit make a significant dent in that?
I think it's a symbolic visit. I think the Pope is going there as an apostle of peace and hoping to build bridges between the different communities. He's going there as a sign of the bridges between the different Christian communities themselves, but also to build those bridges between the Christians and the Muslim and the Jewish population. I think his presence, he has an effective presence, and I think his presence will encourage people. He can't build the bridges by himself. He can only start building and hope that the building will continue once he's gone.
Now, prayer obviously is of fundamental importance. So too, really, is not just financial support for the region, but sending people on pilgrimage. And I'm sure you've seen the images, as I have, some 6,500 pictures of the Year of Faith pilgrimage of your diocese out to the Holy Land. That was quite something. How did you feel looking back over that?
I think it was a success. Unfortunately, though I was due to join it, I had pneumonia, so the doctors advised me not to go. But I was out again in January with the coordination group. I think one of the things that we were asked was to constantly be inviting people to come as pilgrims to the Holy Land, to support the holy places, but to support a holy people, because that land is holy to Christians, to Jews, and to Muslims.
Well, I have to say, Bishop Declan, thank you for being our third spoke in the wheel. We've gone to Jordan, we've gone to Bristol, and we're back in London. So thank you very much for your time, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, James.
Well, aren't we lucky today? That's two guests on our show, Harry. I mean, not often that's happened, I have to say.
Indeed. Usually our listeners have had to put up with me talking all the time. This time, somehow, I managed to keep my sentences shorter, James. And we had the Archbishop from Jordan, and we also had our own Bishop Declan from Bristol. So I think this is a good foretaste for a pilgrimage that will take place later on this week.
So it's prayer, it's solidarity, it's thinking about our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, the Christians, of course, but also the other people of the region. You and I have talked about the need for peace. I'm sure we will talk about it again. But for now, Harry Hagopian, thank you ever so much for your insight, as always, and for arranging for us that lovely mix of voices ahead of Pope Francis' visit.
It was a pleasure, James.
Don't forget, you can check out all our latest podcasts on catholicnews.org.uk. I would naturally push you towards Middle East analysis, wouldn't I, particularly in light of this podcast. And as Harry rightly says, we will investigate and look back on the papal visit that takes place from Saturday the 24th of May through to Monday the 26th of May. Thank you for your time, and we'll look forward to bringing you Middle East analysis very soon.